Oh, do you hear that music?
Wow, that is the coolest music.
That
ever.
That's so good.
Wait, here comes a good part.
I love that part. Fantastic. All right, we're like, they dubbed that in later. No, it really doesn't sound great. Okay, we're back. Hey,
bonjour.
Hey.
Where the hell you been? Where the hell have you been?
Oh, I have been. I've been gone. I've been out of the country. Yeah. You know, so welcome everybody back, and we're back with our weekly podcast. So we'll cover a few issues and have some fun. And Grant the Woody to a Valley athlete wins this week. Mm. We'll get back to that.
Okay.
And we have Grayson Stevens, who is lurking back there here in the Cotton Club down at Marley's downtown. And Grayson's going to come on and tell us his story. He's getting ready to move to Nashville. He graduated from Arizona State, and he's going to be a big country star, I think.
He's got the right name for it. Grayson Stevens, yeah. That's like immediate success.
Good name, buddy.
I'm all for
Way
it.
To go.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice pick.
Just do like, you know, the Cher and Beyonce and stuff, the one name, Grayson.
Well, that comes later. You've got to start with, you know, you can't just jump right into that. By the way, did you see the Joan Rivers roast yet?
You know, I didn't. I forgot that was on last night.
I watched it.
Her and Kathy Griffin, I know, are on Larry King Live tonight.
Absolutely.
I knew Larry King would find his way in.
I know. How long did it take Klaus to
work 1:35 seconds, Larry.
I know. Unbelievable.
Phoenix, you're on the air.
He said, my favorite, of course, is, what's the dude's name? Austin, what's that dude's name that I like from the roast?
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey Ross. Jeffrey Ross. So Kathy Griffin, I can't say the word exactly. I guess I can.
Yeah,
sure you can.
I guess
internet.
I can. I forgot, yeah.
if it was on cable, you could see it on
this. I won't go on the rest of them, but yeah. So Kathy Griffin introduced Jeffrey Ross. Pippi Longstocking.
Oh, that's a good line.
That's great.
Oh, they were insane on the show. I mean, it could not have been more vulgar. But
things are so funny though.
It was.
God.
I can't honestly. I can't even. That's like the nicest.
Was it as good as the Larry the Cable Guy roast?
It was 10 times better.
Really?
Everyone on there was great, and I mean everybody. I hate Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
And he was funnier than hell. He was really good.
Affleck.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Brad Garrett. I mean, these people were really funny. Oh, Robin Quivers, who is terrible from Howard Stern.
Yeah.
She got no game. She was the butt of every racial joke. She's the only black person on
Perfect.
The dais, you know. And she got up and she killed everybody on there. Killed. Plus, you know, the Jeffrey Rosses and people like that who are just legitimately great.
Yeah.
And Joan Rivers wasn't bad at the end.
Did you see the recent clip
Modernly
of
funny.
Joan Rivers? I think it was with the Sacramento TV station. She was doing an interview about the new show she's doing, So How'd You Get So Rich?
It looks like the worst show in
history. Well, it probably is. But, you know, they were doing the typical interview, what's the show about, yada, yada, yada. And one of the anchors on set asked her, so have you ever asked the question, so how'd you get so rich? Tell me, daughter, are you, like, trading off my name, you know, with a slam to Melissa? She got pissed and shut the interview down right then. She goes, that was, like, uncalled for. We're ending this interview right
that.
Now. This was
Melissa?
On live TV. Yeah.
These guys were dumping on Melissa, you could imagine. It was out there.
God,
nothing is off limits on those roasts.
No.
That's great.
And they crossed the line. One guy said, Joan Rivers... Joan Rivers' face has been lifted more than Bristol Palin's skirt.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, if you're going to be saying stuff like
great.
That. I mean, come on.
How long is it going to be before Sarah Palin issues a statement on that?
I'm sure she
I
has,
know.
But nobody's listening.
It's not good. That's, all, that's
great, though.
That crosses the line.
Hey, David Letterman, you're out of the fire now.
Do we post the link on our website?
Sure, that'd be great.
I think we should
Why
do
not?
That. Put it up.
It is damn funny.
And I'll find that Joan Rivers clip, too, where she shut down the TV.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah, God. Funny stuff, but gross. Super gross. So what are we talking about? What we did this summer?
Light stuff. Nice and light. Let's
keep it light. No. You want to do some heavy issues. No, there's not that much.
Yeah, I'm always about that.
Running for governor. We'll get to that. But first, let's review. So, Carrie, what have you been doing?
God, I've been
I've
everywhere.
Heard you, like, you live in Flagstaff now.
I kind of do. But school started today. Today's the first day of kindergarten. So we, you know, we dropped
too.
Off. I mean, it was a big deal.
Dropped
so.
Off, yeah.
Well,
I went to high school today.
You went to high school today?
I had to go. I had to go to all the classes.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it works.
How'd
at
you
Chaparral
do?
High.
You were kind of smart, though.
I did all right. I took good notes.
I bet.
and tonight I got a little bit of stuff I got to do later tonight.
A little bit of homework.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not going back. Yeah.
So who are you taking to the prom this year, right?
No, we have a freshman mixer Wednesday.
Excellent.
7 to 9.
Wow. Some cute
I'm
girls
a little
these
nervous
days.
About that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
No, 500 people in class and big school. And
yeah.
Wait a minute. A freshman mixer? Doesn't mixer usually entail alcohol?
No, actually, especially not when they're freshmen in high school.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I didn't realize that Steve and I were neighbors until I checked on Megan'sLaw.com, and I
that's another one from the show last night.
It's okay.
That's on the show last night.
I like that, though. Yes. No, anyway. No.
We actually do live fairly close to each other.
Yeah, I know. And don't you stay 501 feet away.
Away at all times.
They're tearing down this big building next to where I live, so I don't know.
So, nothing big to report?
First day of kindergarten, and I've been in Flagstaff all of July, and I just took an awesome girls' trip to Carmel with four girls.
Oh, what about that? Wow.
You know what? It was great.
Little party action?
Your old paralegal Tara Mann showed up, surprised me, from Philadelphia. She's a partier. There was a little bit of wine, a lot of dancing. And
what?
Oh, my God.
Amongst yourselves?
Yes, just amongst ourselves.
Okay, wow.
It was very fun. Very, very fun. So,
any photos of that?
None that we can post.
Okay.
No, but good time. So we're back for first day of school. Holy shit, August 10th. What is wrong? What is wrong? Can you – you know what? Here's the reason you need to run for governor, because you need to change that.
I would change that.
Because Labor Day is just fine.
Start after Labor Day and go into June.
Yeah, don't give me any
fall break.
Because
June isn't bad.
Yeah.
But right now it's hideous.
Sucks.
No, it's absolutely
– And wouldn't that actually save schools money? Because it's got to cost them a fortune to be running air conditioning this time of year.
Right. And for the 2 weeks before school starts when they're all getting their act together.
For those of us out of Chaparral today, me and the other freshmen, it was hotter than hell. Yeah, they need a little grass out there, by the way.
God.
It is so much
brutal.
Cement. And, I mean, it is brutal. Yeah. No, it should be changed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I gather they changed it. They keep going backwards. They want to be on ASU's schedule, which makes no sense.
No.
How many people are? I mean, I have kids at both schools, but how many people do? Not many.
Right.
Stupid.
Well, and Carrie and I talked about that on the last show when you were in Italy. It's like,
well, you did one without me. Did you miss me?
Who are you?
We met like 14 times, didn't they tell you?
But no, she and I are both from the Midwest, and both of us went to school the Tuesday after Labor
Day. That's when it should be.
Yeah.
That's right.
And went into the first week in June, and boom, that was it.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Well, that's one of the things we'll change when someone else is governor.
Oh, not you?
Not you?
No. But let's talk about Italy first.
Okay.
It was great. I got nothing to say, but it was great.
It was great. I'm home.
You know, it's awesome. What can I say?
Any good projects? Did you learn anything? What did you learn?
I learned more about I didn't, like, explore any real new areas. I learned more about the things that I already knew a little bit about, like Florence and Michelangelo and Leonardo and those guys. I'm sticking with the big guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
That was cool. I read a lot about them, and I went to Florence twice while I was there, took the train in both times.
Awesome.
And once I got to go pretty much alone. Got to walk around alone for about 6 hours. So
that was
fun. Cool. The other time I had to do the tourist deal, which is fine because I wanted to see the Uffizi again, where all this great stuff is, and the David. The David, you know, is still, to me, is never ceases to impress.
Yep.
I mean, when I saw the Mona Lisa at the Louvre, I thought, okay. You know, I spent about 5 seconds on
it's
that
big.
One. It's
That's
tiny.
It?
And nothing against it is great, but
no, you're right.
To me, and it's been so commercialized. I kind of thought, you know, she'd have a Pepsi can in her hand or something. And the David, you just don't feel like that. You walk around the corner, and you go, "Holy
well, it's awesome.
Cow!"
It's
awesome. Not like it's tiny or you know, it's awesome. So that was great, and I learned a lot more about him. I read Agony and the Ecstasy, which I hadn't read since I was long time ago. And so you can pretty much follow the same streets and the same houses, and not that much has changed from when he was there. So that was kind of cool to do, too. You know?
How long of a flight over there is that?
It's a long ways. We went from New York, so we had a couple of days because my kid was in West Side Story at this camp. And so that broke it up. That was a good way to do it. So that was only about 6 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad.
From there. But it's about 10, 11, 12, something like that.
Ugh.
Then on the way back, it's farther.
That would drive me up the wall. I can't do that.
I got to see a lot of movies.
Oh, but you
wouldn't leave the country anyway.
No, I'm
not leaving the country.
No, I would leave the country. It's just I'm not a fan of a long flight.
Well, who is?
You're probably not leaving the country.
That's like saying, you know, I don't like lines.
God, I love to get on a plane for like 24
no
hours.
No one is, but you just do it.
Especially in the middle.
Because then you're in Italy and you're in wherever you're at. No one likes the long flight.
Did you guys hear about this flight from Houston to Minnesota this weekend?
Oh, I think I didn't read it, but it's
flight from hell, like you wouldn't believe.
14 hours on the plane.
It's like the small commuter aircraft flying Houston, Minneapolis, storms and stuff, so they can't land in Minneapolis. They have to land in Rochester, but the crew runs out of time when they can fly that they're legally eligible to fly. So they land there. The 47 passengers are stuck on this aircraft for 9 hours. The airport is closed. The security screeners are gone, so they can't let them off the aircraft.
Outrageous.
And they tried busing in a crew but couldn't do it and then had a flying crew later. They're not happy.
That happens to people,
and I can't imagine
sitting on that plane like that. It's so gross.
Why doesn't somebody get some common sense and say, all right, the screeners have gone home. The airport is closed. Let's lock the doors of the airport, but we let them in the waiting area. They're not going anywhere. They're still screened at that point.
I don't know. There's no common sense. It happens all the time.
There's a lawsuit for you, Grant.
Dude, that's a good one. You're right on that one. Now, didn't there used to be another guy who was always with us every week? Was that guy's name?
He was a comedian
guy. And I wanted to talk to him. Oh, Mark Cordes.
Yeah, Mark.
Yes. Oh, well, he's at a gig in Connecticut, and he just is going to miss us here in our taping here on a Monday by an hour or two.
Is he at that Foxwoods Casino back there?
He's funny. He ought to really do that for a living.
He is a funny guy. Yeah, and funny what I want to talk to him about is we just saw the movie Funny People.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I'd be very interested in his reaction because it's all, you know, about comedians.
We'll have to do that next week.
That whole deal.
I'll go see it before then.
Go see it. I give it a thumbs up. It's interesting. So a lot of these movies, shockingly, the reviews seem to be right on. At least to me, anyway. A lot of times you read a review and you go, hey, that isn't even close to what I thought. This movie was pretty much reviewed the same way by everybody, and yeah, it's pretty much how it is. That Julie and Julia has pretty much got the same review by everybody. Great when Streep's on, not so great when she's not.
Right.
And everybody pretty much says that's kind of how it is. So I don't know about this Funny People. It did really tail off dramatically. They predicted it would. It's not going to do well, as it turns out. But I liked it. It was interesting, and it's a nice performance by Adam Sandler.
Which is unusual. I mean, usually he's kind of
And that's kind of spoofed in the movie. I mean, he plays a comedian who
does stupid
acts
shit.
Like an idiot in his movies, and now he's has to be an adult here. And
kind of a stretch for him.
He did a great job. I thought it was good. It was all right. They kind of took some weird direction, but we'll see what he has to say about that. And Roast, we got to talk to him about Roast.
Oh God!
I know he's done Roast.
Yep.
I actually hosted. I emceed a roast for Sheriff Joe Arpaio one time a few years ago, and
it's almost. I mean, it's too easy.
Yeah
there's right. a punchline there. Yeah. Somewhere.
Well, except it was mostly cops in the audience, and so that's not a good deal. You want it to be like that. Friar's Roast thing, where everybody says anything goes.
Right.
Not like if you say the slightest thing, they're going to,
can't
believe you said that.
Right, yeah. Offended.
Oh, you know. Or the guy gets up before you and goes, I know it's supposed to be a roast.
He's a really great guy.
He's so great. I could, deadly, right?
Yeah.
So the deal was Cordes had on a Hawaiian shirt, and he was going to be sitting in the audience, and he would start heckling me. And then I said, well, you think you're so good, why don't you come up here and try it?
And then he did.
And he walks up, and he has this really loud Hawaiian shirt on. He goes, hey, I'm sorry, I'm dressed like this. I didn't know what this was. I thought I was going to a luau. They said we're going to roast a pig. That was his first line.
Ouch.
And
how'd that go over?
It went over great. They all laughed. Okay. And he said... later, he said, I mean, I would put it all on all my chips out on that
joke.
That
better be good.
If that joke worked, I'm in business. If it didn't, I'm dead.
Out.
Yeah, and they did all laugh. It was
that's good.
Took some courage to tell that joke right there.
I like it, though.
And Arpaio laughed. He thought it was funny, so it was all right.
You know, you got to have courage, though. I mean, don't you think comedians, stand-up comedians have to be some of the bravest people in the universe? I mean, that is laying it. It's like totally bearing your soul and going, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Just have a whack at me. Right, I suck.
If you're up there and doing a set and it's not going well, it's death warmed over.
God.
He says that in the movie. He says, when you can hear the waitress's footsteps, it's not good.
Not good.
It's like,
can I get you anything
not
else?
Not going well. No, but I was going to say on that plane, I saw four movies. That's how long the flight was.
Did they serve popcorn for him? Or?
No, none of them were good that I could think of.
What'd you say?
I'm trying to remember. Taken.
Ooh.
People like that, but I thought it was horrible.
Shit?
Because I was on a plane for 14 hours.
Did you have any
audience.
Other choices?
No.
Oh,
yes.
You didn't, download the movie yourself.
No,
it was
no,
what
no.
was
you
on.
You just push the button. It's free. Oh. And and it was worth that. It was worth
you
didn't
have a DVD player with you so you could do your own?
No, that was being occupied by my daughter who was watching Hannah Montana movie.
Hey, I was going to say, I could have let you have some of my Seinfeld DVDs so you could watch the whole
God. How do you watch? It's on like every night. I mean,
yeah, you really
don't
need
them. Yeah, but the DVDs. You
oh, the behind-the-scenes stuff?
Behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
And the pop-up video version of it? Which
what?
Yeah, there's like a pop-up version of
it. That would ruin it. I don't want to see that.
No, but it explains to you things like what chocolate babka was and all this
oh
other
God.
Stuff. And, you know,
you
it's
want to know too much about this crap.
That's pandering.
Just watch it and yeah. laugh and move on. I saw He's Just Not That Into You.
Ugh.
Terrible. Really a piece of crap.
Brutal.
And what else did I see? Oh, I don't know. Then we got back. We saw Bruno.
Did
anyone see Bruno?
Think?
I haven't seen it yet.
It was funny, but it was, you know, we can see why people didn't like it so much. Because
right.
it was, you know, talk about crossing
edgy.
The line.
Ooh.
Way over the line. I mean, it's like if he would have pulled back. But that's not him, you know. So, again, I thought he was very courageous
right.
to make that.
He is brave.
It wasn't, you know, I would have preferred not to have to see that stuff, you know. But.
Right.
By the way, Austin, I got an email. We just saw this thing on a couple days ago. Funny people from same day we saw it that night from my parents, his grandparents, and it says, "It's I think it was his my mother," and she said, "Could you please explain to us what we are missing from this movie we just saw? It was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my
it's
God!
It's called Funny People, and we don't get it." And I saw in the movie ratings, people over 50 gave it an F.
You know what? There's movies
an
like
F.
that. You know that that Christopher Guest movies, you know, like Spinal
oh,
Tap
yeah,
and Best
yeah.
in Show? I get those. My mother-in-law, she calls me. She goes, I just saw the worst movie I've ever seen. I walked out. I said, really,
right.
what was it? Best in Show. I'm like, I own four copies.
Right, right.
Funniest damn thing you've
thing.
Ever seen.
There's generational. There's also male, female.
There's a
there's
sense
some,
of humor missing.
There's some shows or things that men think are just hysterical, and women can sit there and
Three Stooges.
Go. Three Stooges is the
exactly.
perfect example.
I mean,
I can watch Three
stare.
Stooges yep. all day long, and
blank stare.
I've hardly met a woman who doesn't absolutely
stone
hate the Three
face,
Stooges.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tried. Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is that?
I know. This well, it dumb. Works the other way. It works the other way, too. Oh, and that movie, He's Just Not That Into You. There was a perfect example, though. We've had this conversation. Who's hot and who's not, as far as women? And you talk to women, and they'll name, okay, name the top two or three hottest women. And they come up with Nicole Kidman. These and every guy goes, what?
Oh,
doesn't
gross.
Make the top 100, you know? And number one for us, I mean, it's almost always like Scarlett Johansson. She's certainly right up there. She was in that movie.
Yeah.
Super hot in that movie. Talk to my wife. She goes, oh, I don't get that. She doesn't look that great. I'm like, oh, my God. Are you kidding me? You would say no to Nicole Kidman, or yes to Nicole Kidman, and no to Scarlett Johansson. It's a male-female thing, you know? And then we say, well, what guys do you think are hot? And, you know, I don't know. What the hell do I know? I might say Brad Pitt. Oh, he seems gross. He seems dirty.
Dirty.
Yeah, I know. What does that mean? Poor Brad Pitt. He takes showers?
Not too many.
What? What's
wrong
with him?
Allegedly. Well, it's not bad.
George Clooney?
Anyway,
I'm not a George fan. I'm not a George fan either. No.
I don't
get
that,
that
either. I think I'd say definitely. I put him number one.
And hasn't he been sexiest man alive too?
I'm sure.
Yeah, but that's the magazine. I'm telling you, talk to women and they go, they name these just complete jackasses.
That cute guy from The Hangover. He's currently very
Wild
Coop.
Love it.
Yeah.
Coop.
Love him.
Brad Cooper.
Yeah. Cute.
Coop. I told you Julia Louis-Dreyfus killed him on Conan.
No.
Yeah, she was on. She was hysterical.
Yeah.
And
God,
I love her.
She's
speaking
great.
Of Seinfeld, right? And then he came on and he told some lame little anime. He was really trying hard, you know, because he's kind of a news star. And he said he would always want a nickname and he wanted to be called Coop and no one would call him Coop and blah, blah, blah. And so then, and then they started doing some little bit like guys and everything and they kind of glanced over at her. And Conan says, you really aren't into anything we're saying here, are you? And, she goes, she looks over at this guy, and he goes, no, you're great, Coop.
Jackass.
So sarcastic.
That's
yeah.
right, yeah.
No, you're great, Coop.
Really like you, Coop.
And the guy was just like, oh, shit. Oh, I think he's dating, what's her name, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Supposedly
yeah.
dating
they were in that
everybody.
Movie together.
He was supposedly dating Jennifer Aniston, and he was supposedly dating
tough life
Reese Witherspoon
guy.
Or somebody. I mean, just everybody. Yeah, right. Okay. Cute or not?
Absolutely.
Reese. Thank you.
Reese? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was playing. She was playing me.
Oh, or that's right. Oh, don't bring
like
that up again.
No,
see?
That would piss me off.
Yeah,
what did he say about you, Florence Henderson?
What the fuck? Mrs. Carol Brady.
That's so
thank
weird.
You. She's like 80.
I know.
And no
Florence
talent,
Henderson.
By the way. Not talented.
Yeah, you're hoping for Reese Witherspoon, which is what I said. And he throws out Florence Henderson. You look like Florence
right.
Henderson.
Yeah. Well, seriously, yeah. Don't hold back on Joan that. Rivers or Kathy Griffin. Because either one of them could be me. Shit.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
Okay. Joan has had more faceless than anybody, you know.
She's had her face lit. No, I can't go into that. Her, no, they're all
more guys than Bristol.
No, don't say
oh,
that because it crosses
God,
the line.
God, it's great.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay, now look, your boy, you're a resident huge Obama fan.
The Barack star.
And never heard that. The Barack
you've never
star.
Heard the Barack
now you
star?
Have.
I have not heard
oh,
that.
Wow.
It sounds like
a new nickname
Starbucks.
Every week.
Yeah.
Let's call him Poop.
Here's the problem. I told you earlier in the summer when he announced his health care plan. And you know I've been trying to be very supportive of the president,
yes.
right? Done my best. That I was against that. And it was I thought it was a bad idea. He shouldn't be pushing it. Go for, you know, some small reforms here. Work it out. Don't go for the whole enchilada. And he is really struggling on this thing. And I think his numbers this past week were not good. They were he's way, way down. And I think it all goes to his health care. And what he's given the Republicans a great issue, I think, for good reason. I don't support it. I think it's a bad idea. So I just, you know, what do you think? He's your boy. I mean, why does he have to go all in on this thing?
Because it's part of the overall solution. It's part of the overall plan to move America forward.
Oh,
and it, no, in terms of the numbers, I actually don't think the numbers are that bad for him. Number one, Gallup just released a poll. He's above 50% in every state but two. One was Wyoming, and I can't remember
I know,
the other
but
one.
Before he came
he
up with
like
this
85.
Crappy thing, he was like, yeah, off the charts.
His numbers were going to come down. The other thing is where he's going to win on this is
– he's not going to win on this. He's going to lose on this.
He's going to win because 70% of the American people feel reform is needed.
Sure, but not that
reform. Some reform.
He's going to have to back off this, and I agree with you. He's going to back off, and he'll come up with not a universal health care with a 90%, 95%, something like that. I don't think he's going to get his government option, although we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But he's going to he'll end up getting something because the Democrats control both houses, and he's put it all out there. They will come up with something. But this crazy-ass thing that he came up with, I think, was a bad plan. And what I don't understand about Obama, and he did it, and this is disappointing as well, on the stimulus funds, is he's got this idea that he's going to throw the idea out there and let Congress write it. And I think that was a huge mistake in the stimulus thing because it was botched, in my view. And now in the health care plan, basically they're writing it. So now you have the House version, which very few people are for, except the House. It couldn't pass the Senate. And senators are having to defend that, Democratic senators, and they don't have an alternative. That isn't Obama's plan. He's not going to come up with that House plan. So I just think politically, this idea that, okay, here's the broad strokes, you guys fill in the details, and then we'll work it out. Is not a good plan. I think he's the president. You got to go out there and say, this is my plan, and let's go.
And I can fully understand that, but let's take a look now in retrospect to that stimulus plan that was packaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in place now for about 5 months, right?
It was passed $5 has been in place.
Well, no, it's been in place since mid-February.
It's in place, but the money's not out there because of the way they wrote it, but it's all right. Except
let's look at what's happened since then.
It has nothing to do with that stimulus. The economy has gotten
something's
better.
Doing it.
Yeah, something's doing it. It's not that stimulus money because it's not being spent. Stimulus money, by definition, is short-term, not long-term. And a perfect example of stimulus money is this cash for clunkers thing, which I thought was a good idea. But that's money that wouldn't have been out there. Boom, it's out there, and it's immediately stimulating the economy here. This other stuff's going to kick in later. Very little of it. I don't know what the number is, but it's what's out there now, 10%, 15%? Most of it's not out there.
But it was a combination of tax cuts, stimulus money. It was a whole overall package.
Not
the results from that, what you can – and he gets credit if the economy goes up,
yep.
regardless of what happens. So since that stimulus package was approved in mid-February, the stock market hit bottom in the first week in March. Since that time, the stock market is up 40%.
That's great.
That's an amazing thing. Unemployment was down this month, and it probably is not going to hit 10%,
yep.
as people thought. You're also looking at housing sales starting to tick up because of that $8,000 tax credit. So you are starting to see
those
some
things are
change.
All good, but we have the biggest debt we've ever had in our history.
We do have a huge
and
debt.
And it's not because the money was spent to stimulate the economy. It's because he let Congress write it, and they did everything but stimulate the economy, in my view. In other words, if they would have gone out to the public and you would have said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to jumpstart this economy because we're going to start highway projects, bridge projects, power grid. We're going to do the infrastructure stuff that needs to be done anyway, and let's go. Mm-hmm. We're going to cut through all of this, and we're going to get it going, and it's all going to be done in the next 6 months. We're going to get it going. Didn't happen.
None
of it's going to happen.
I would agree.
It's
going to
happen
you.
Later when we probably won't need it because we are pulling out of it.
But it helps stabilize the markets that much. I'm pretty.
That
and,
it
and the,
did.
And the GM
that's
bankruptcy.
That's a heavy cost, though.
The GM bankruptcy is working. They've now announced that in less than a year, the first IPO of the new GM is going to be announced. Whoever thought that would have happened when they went into it? And I would agree with you. I almost want to see him be more forceful and say, look, I won this election. I've got the majority.
He needs to be because you know what? He doesn't have the majority.
Screw the Republicans.
Nancy
this.
Pelosi doesn't have the majority. The Nancy Pelosi view of the world is not what most people want.
Pelosi
went
and Reid are
today.
Not the right leaders.
Did you hear her call the demonstrators un-American?
Yeah, I know. That's weak.
It's a bad choice.
Yeah, but it is a bad choice.
Calling him Hitler. I mean, they've crossed the line with that.
No, of course.
And these are people organized by Rush Limbaugh and these other right-wing idiots on the radio. They are.
I don't know about that. So, you know, some people
look
are.
Look at them. It's the right. It's the talk radio
overall,
demographic.
People aren't supportive of it. So I think when you look back on it, the president made a big mistake. And if you look historically, the president at this issue, for example, back in and when Nixon was president, that was their last big opportunity to really get it done. It could have been done. And Ted Kennedy and his crowd were pretty much the ones who killed it because they wanted too much. They wouldn't take just part. You couldn't take part of it and build upon it. No, we got to have the whole thing. Just like Obama, we got to have the whole thing. Now, this is so important. And I just think it's not going to happen. It's a mistake.
Well,
I don't want it to happen. I would vote against it as well.
Right, and I would disagree with that. But, I mean, like some of the funnier things that I've seen so far, these people that are going, you know, we don't want government-run health care, but please don't do anything to my Medicare. That is government-run health care.
Right. Well, that's got a lot of them fired up who are going to those meetings, that's for sure, because they think you're going to pay for it out of Medicare.
And there was somebody at I believe it was a rally in Missouri, that where they had one of the scuffles and he got injured and this type of thing. Mm-hmm. He's opposed to the health care reform and everything else. He doesn't have health insurance. He needed to ask for donations to pay for his medical treatment.
After he got beat up. Nice.
Yeah, you know, it's like – but what I'm worried about is I agree there should be a healthy, strong debate on health care reform, and all these sides need to be heard. But the tactics that some of these folks have taken have been simply uncalled for. And I'm concerned almost in the direction it's going to go because there was a story today at one of the health care forums that Gabby Giffords held in southern Arizona or somewhere. One of the participants, a gun came out, dropped to the floor during the thing. Leave your guns at home.
This is Arizona.
Yeah, but she represents Tombstone, so, you know.
Right. Don't we have a law that says you can bring your guns into the health care
system? If you're going to have a civil discourse, you don't need to bring a gun to it. I'm sorry.
I had many town halls when I was attorney general that people came armed, and it's a little disconcerting.
It is. And you know,
mostly
there
displayed,
is
though, not concealed. Probably.
No, they weren't concealed. Yeah. Well, I didn't know if they were concealed. But, yeah, there's
But there is a security aspect to some of these, the way they've turned out. And that's
well, they certainly ought to think about that, especially here.
Those town halls, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you know, when I was McCain's chief of staff, he insisted we were going to have, like, 10 million town halls. That was the deal. We had to, oh, my God, we're going to, I forgot what the record was, but, of course, we had to break it. And you know, it was just a lot of work for him to go to these things. And were they worthwhile? Not in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, the people who showed up.
Listened to a bunch of idiots.
For the most part, yeah. Well, and they all had personal things. You know, they'd stand up in front of, you know, first 25 people show up. And then the guy stands up and, you know, my benefits got cut off. And I'm wondering if you can help me. Okay, why are we
right.
here? Mm-hmm. You know, go to the office.
Right.
I don't know. So a lot of those are just for show. They're not for real dialogue. Right. I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens on that. But I think the president's blown that one, and that's too bad. Now, Sotomayor, Kyle voted against Sotomayor, and that doesn't surprise me.
No.
He
toasts the Republican Party line.
Well, he is. He is the Republican Party line. You know, he's number two in the Senate, and that's the way it is. McCain voting no on it, on Sotomayor, that was very disappointing to me. I don't know what he was doing on that. Any explanations on that?
Yeah. He's facing a right-wing challenge next year when he runs for re-election.
So you think it was strictly political?
And that was kind of his little...
It's not going to be enough, though. I mean, that's one vote on a Supreme Court justice, and he's going to... I mean, if he...
No.
Really?
No, it's not going to be enough, but I think that was kind of his olive branch to the far right, saying, you know what, she's going to get concerned.
Pretty weak.
But that's weak. I mean, I thought it was, you know, again, it's supposed to be the hard charger, the Mr. Independent. Mr. Maverick and all that, and you can't stand up to the head of the Minutemen?
No, I know. And what disappointed me about his vote was in his floor speech on the Senate, he praised her for having an outstanding, you know, background. Mm-hmm. She has the experience, and she clearly has the qualifications to be a U.S. Supreme Court justice.
Therefore, I'm going to vote no.
Which
makes no sense.
It doesn't.
Because that's what
sense.
Their job right. is. Their job. Granted, yeah, we understand you would have picked somebody more conservative, but you lost.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, you're supposed to – are they qualified? Is there some sort of weird thing in their past and that disqualifies them or whatever? And you look at that, and then you got to vote for them.
Isn't McCain the one who said elections have consequences?
Absolutely. It was. I was really disappointed with that vote, I have to say, but –
I agree with you.
I guess, you know, Republicans want to move from 4% of the Latino vote to 1% or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Congratulations.
No, are on the verge of becoming a very much minority party. They've got the Deep South, and that's it. There was a poll out today, and this just stuns me. They did like a national poll on the Obama birth certificate thing, right? Oh, jeez. No, and I agree, it's stupid. All the regions of the country, it's like 90% plus, yes, Obama's a natural-born citizen, Hawaii, end of story, drop it. In the South, over 40% question, either have doubts. It's an IQ test. And North Carolina, the Republican Party, it was a stunning number of Republicans. We're not sure he's a citizen. He's a citizen. I mean, for them to have a conspiracy theory for his parents to have plotted a birth announcement in the Hawaii newspapers in August 1961, thinking, you know what, 47 years from now, my son's going to be elected president. I better head back to Kenya, especially when the mom doesn't even have a passport to get out of the country.
Unbelievable. That was a good move.
Yeah.
You know, those people are
clearly proportional
nuts.
To the intelligence of those in the region.
Well, it's just, I mean,
ridiculous.
They got to move on.
But
you know,
why? Why is the Deep South so far behind everybody?
I don't know. We'll have to get
there's an age-old question.
But I would be embarrassed if I was a normal thinking person in the Deep South.
Well,
you'd probably
let's
move.
Talk about the situation here. The you know I
would be embarrassed if I lived in Arizona with this legislature.
I was gone for all of July. Come back and nothing's changed. They still don't have a budget.
No.
Yeah. Just doing the exact same thing. Think this week maybe any time now we're going to have a budget and. Who knows? Now they might try to pick off one Democratic vote or something by promising a bunch of money to that person's district or something, or maybe on the reservation, peel somebody off. Not good. So we can discuss. I wanted to discuss for our audience out there this little rumor mill going along that was on Channel 5 and elsewhere about me running and that for governor in 2010 and that people are meeting on that and trying to persuade me to do that. And, you know, that's all fine. And I appreciate that. It's pretty interesting to see the different people. And someone might run as an independent. Others say you got to run as a Republican. But the bottom line is, I have to say, I really don't see that happening. And if I don't see it happening, then it's probably not going to happen, you know, because the only way I would do something like that would really be a duty, honor, country sort of deal. I mean, that's just how it is. It's not something that I have this driving, burning desire that I want to be in public office again. And if I did, and I did have that once, and I ran. And I ran pretty much against all odds. You know, frankly, I announced against someone who had been in office for 3 terms to run against him. My views were not necessarily those of the Republican Party at the time on many key issues, and yet we won. So if I really wanted to do that, I would say, okay, let's go. It's more like, okay, because I do care about this state, and I grew up here, I've lived my whole life here, raised my kids here, I do think the state's messed up. I do think the state can do a heck of a lot better than it's doing, and I worry about the future of the state. I don't know that we're going to be the great place to live that it has been for us and for quite a while now, really from pretty much the 50s on, I don't know if we're going to start going on a downhill slide, or maybe we already have. And so that would all be too bad. But having said that, the days in this state, I don't think there ever was a day in this state where everybody would get together and say, you know, we need this guy to run. Let's say it's the Republicans. And the Republicans would all get coalesced behind a candidate and say, you know what, this guy can win. We want to win. So let's get behind him. Mm-hmm. Here, everyone's kind of a free agent. They'll pat you on the back and go, hey, let us know how that works out. Good luck. And then they won't do a damn thing. Or they're mainly worried about their own lives and their own political careers, and they will never stick their neck out. Not everybody. There are some elected officials who have talked to me here recently, and they're willing to stick their neck out, and that's great. But most of them won't do that. And actually, looking back on it, at least in my lifetime, that's pretty much par for the course in Arizona. Even the Goldwater days and back then, they didn't do as good a job as they do in other states. In other states, and the Democrats last year nationally, or the last 4 years really, Rahm Emanuel being the leader of this effort, they went around state to state and they said, let's find candidates who can win. They might be more conservative in one state, more liberal in another state. We want to win.
Right.
We've never really done that in this state. So I don't see that happening, and that not happening, then it's not going to happen. And, you know, I like the current governor personally, and, you know, we've talked about that. I've been supporting her. I'm going to continue to support her, and I assume she'll be the nominee. Goddard's going to be the Democratic nominee, it looks like, and I've always had a good relationship with him. I like him. So I don't really see it happening. But
the Channel 5 story, was the Channel 5 story saying that the Republicans were asking you, or is that certain
yes.
elected officials? Did they name them?
No, they didn't name them. Yeah, pretty much both.
Yeah.
Which is true, and that's, you know, but I don't see it happening.
All right, you say you don't see it happening. Uh-huh. Let's get the definitive answer on the floor. Have you totally ruled out a run for governor in 2010?
I've ruled out me doing anything to make that happen.
You feel like you're on CBS Sunday morning?
Yeah, really.
I'm trying to think of a real doozy for you
no,
right
but
now.
No, but I won't. I'm not going to go out and do things. I don't. One, I think it's kind of inappropriate, frankly, because, again, we have a Republican governor. Mm-hmm. I assume she's going to be the nominee. And
what if she decides not to run?
Well, then, you know, then you'll see what happens, and I'd probably throw everything for a loop. But I'm going to assume she's going to be the nominee, and she's going to run. If she runs, I certainly wouldn't run against her. I would support her.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a very tough job there. And, by the way, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, great
really
job
looks
right
like
now.
A barrel of laughs there, you know.
But if she is not the nominee and a far-right Republican gets the nomination, Terry Goddard likely is going to be the Democratic
Would
nominee.
Run as an independent.
Run as an independent.
You know, that's intriguing to me, an independent run. I think an independent can win in Arizona, although it would be very, very difficult. Granted, it's difficult. You lose a big chunk of the Republicans. You lose a big chunk of the Democrats because they vote for their own party. And that doesn't leave that many left. Having said that, independents are going to be the majority party in this state pretty soon. They don't vote, you know, along
as often
in mass or as often. In other words, they don't just say, "Well, all Woods is independent, so we'll all vote for him." Some of them are very liberal. Some of them are very conservative. They just happen to, you know, be independent as far as their registration. Could it be done? It could be done, and it'd be kind of fun. That would be a great way to govern.
Be a lot of fun.
Because, you know,
you
I mean,
wouldn't
honestly,
be holding to anybody.
If I did that, I would say, look, here's what I'm going to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put all my efforts into that, and I could care less whether the Republicans like it or the Democrats like it. This is what we're going to do. And I'll get the best people, be they Republican or Democrat. And on any other issues, I'll do my best, and that's it. And if that's appealing to you, then you should vote for me.
There
and if not, then you've got one of these other guys you can vote for. They're business as usual, you've got that. So that kind of campaign, that would be fun, and that would be probably the way to go. And I think the country may go there eventually as well. But I really, you know, there's a lot of things to do in life, and I already did this. I did it for 8 years. So I don't, that's not going to happen, I don't think.
I know you say you don't see it happening, but under what scenario would you change your mind?
I don't know.
Or at least seriously consider it.
It's not going to happen. I mean, like I told you, it would be a duty honor country thing, and that doesn't happen around here. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
But now that it's on the table, Steve, you can call somebody who can, you know, well, give him that pitch.
It doesn't happen that way.
And that's the reason I'm doing it.
You have to run on your own. The way it works is you have to decide, this is what I want, and then I'm going to put together my own team, and I'm going to do the whole thing myself, and then you go and you attract as much support as you can. It is not like it is in some states where they sit around and they go, okay, look, we Republicans, let's say, we're going to lose. We're going to lose this race. And we've got a lot of people. They may be fine people. We may agree with them much more than we do with Woods, for example. But they're going to lose in a general election.
You went through that in 2002 mm-hmm. when basically you were considering running for governor in 2002. Mm-hmm. You at least mm-hmm. gave it some thought.
Right.
And the Republicans did not. They wanted a competitive primary.
Right.
And you said, fine, you're going to lose to Janet.
Right, and they did.
And yeah. What was the result of that election?
Same thing will happen this time. Well, here's maybe someone new and different will emerge, and that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I can support
Dean
them.
Martin.
Well, not necessarily him, but maybe, just new names. I mean, someone from the business community or
kind of doubt that.
Somebody, I don't know.
I don't get that feeling.
But if Jan Brewer does not run, that Republican primary is going to
be a mess,
wide
yeah.
open.
Yeah, that's true.
And what's ironic is right now we're essentially a year away from people voting in that primary.
Crazy,
because
yeah.
the primary for next year is August 31st. And with the early
ballot
going
that?
Up.
Good like Lord. Your calendar goes out farther than mine.
Yeah, how about that, though? It is August 31st.
August 31st, the Tuesday
talk about
before
a low
Labor
turnout.
Day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like that concert that got canceled.
Oh,
yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, how about that? Did we not say that?
Yeah. I think Mark Cordes compared it to the surface of the sun.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was hotter, actually,
than that.
Brought
that to everyone's attention when it was booked like 90 days ago.
Yeah. Right.
Who's the idiot who booked a Bob Dylan, John Mellencamp, Willie Nelson concert for 5 o'clock on August 12th. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
at Camelback Ranch.
We had Danny Zalisco on, and he said it wasn't him. And
yeah. He was trying to be nice, but he said, wow, that was dumb.
Didn't know what they were doing, and they canceled it. And,
I wonder how many tickets they had sold.
I bet they didn't sell too many.
That could have been a great national story. 500 people die of heat exhaustion.
Bob
Dylan goes down.
They do get some older people on there, too.
Oh, yeah.
In their audience, let's face it, they get a lot of young people, but they get a lot of older people. Yeah. And it's hotter than hell out there. I mean, that was ludicrous. I completely canceled them.
You knew it had to either be heat or a massive monsoon storm that would knock that thing out.
There was no way that thing could go off smoothly.
Right.
A buddy of mine, the guy, Patrick Lynch is the Attorney General of Rhode Island. He's running for governor, and I got a message from him while I was in Italy. He said, when you call my phone, Johnny Cash is on there, And he said, a couple nights ago I went to see another great American, Bob Dylan. We sat there and watched him mumble in the direction of the mic. Yeah.
Great show.
Yeah, well. It's not a good show.
No.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
You just got to go and you go there. I've seen him, and it's not
That's
a good
once.
Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Once is enough.
Well, it's Bob Dylan.
God.
If you know the lyrics, then it's a little better. But if you
I
don't,
can't imagine.
Forget it. He's mumbling the whole time.
Right.
Let's do the Woody, and then we've got to get Grayson in here.
Oh, you get the Woody. Okay? He's got his legs crossed there. We don't know what that means.
He's very polite. Yeah.
I hate to do this to you because you're such a Diamondback homer all season. How are they doing, by the way?
I've been to 4 games. I have no
idea.
You were
mad at me when I
predicted
they were going to go right.
I defended Derek Hall when you took his head off on the air because he's a friend.
And who was right?
Go ahead.
They went the team went the way of that
they
sloppy Joe
troubles.
That they were selling there. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to pick on him again. So you ready? Here we go. Okay. This week's Woody goes to Diamondbacks center fielder Chris Young.
Oh.
Now, Chris Young seems like a very nice young man, but he's killing us, and he's been killing us for a long time. I'm talking about first degree murder here, by the way, not manslaughter. The new geniuses of the Diamondbacks signed him through 2014 for $28 million. And since he signed that big, fat, ridiculous contract, how's he been doing? Well, he batted 159 in May, 200 in July, moved up. And he's knocking him out at a mighty 118 so far in August.
My gosh.
He's on the interstate with 4 flat tires and a bald spare. His on-base percentage in May was, 176, tying young Stephen Wonder of the Detroit Tigers. Now, why would we give him the Woody, though, after all this?
Wonder. Got it.
Always a good fielder. He's starting to botch balls out there now, including 2-1 game a few games ago. But the final called strike on Chris Young was at National Stadium this past weekend when, after another miserable effort, see why he decided he had to take a Burns and went into the visiting team's bathroom, where he stayed for the next hour because he locked himself in and the door broke. Forget about getting it out of the park. This guy can't get out of the crapper. They had to call the fire department to break down the door. Everyone was surprised that Young couldn't just pop up the handle, since that's about all he does these days. Take all of our money and promptly lay down and die. Okay, we're getting used to that, right, Eric, dude? But when you strike out on getting yourself out of the can, you've crossed the line. Chris Young gets the Woody. There we go. Wow. Did he?
Yeah.
Chris Young. Down. Well,
it's a lot of money in Tucson or wherever.
$28 million, and he's in Reno. That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, they have casinos up there. Maybe he can double his money.
That is sick, dude. Sick.
Double it and give some back.
Couldn't get out of the bathroom.
That's hilarious.
That's not good.
I love that.
Yeah, where's
that
Larry classic? Craig when you need him?
They used a hatchet, apparently.
Did they really?
Yeah. They had to literally hatchet down the door of the fire department.
That had to be embarrassing.
Oh, you know what's going bad. When you're batting 118.
Can't get out of the bathroom.
And you can't get out of the bathroom after the game. Guys are on the bus. Where's Young? Where's Young? Unbelievable.
Young.
It's a classic.
Chris Young.
Okay.
Should we break while they set up?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we don't need to.
Let's get Grayson over here.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going. Everybody. All right, everybody's in here. We're going. John Kaser is back in the house after being the king of YouTube a few months ago when he sang on the show here. Good job.
And believe it or not, with a face for radio.
Well,
I can't believe it.
No, you did it. You did it with a little song that we
See,
wrote.
See, I doubled this Susan Boyle.
Have you Susan Boyle would be a good match for you. No, I mean singing-wise. And
ye of little faith.
She's great. I'm a big fan of hers. And Grayson Stevens, welcome to the show. Yeah, let's hear it. All right.
Happy to be here.
Yep.
This is big time.
This
here
is
at
big
Marley's
time
downtown.
Here. We're at Marley's.
That's right. Dan's right there, too. Did you see Dan at the bar?
Dan's over here at the bar.
Dan at the bar is a friend of mine.
Drinking a Budweiser, of course, because our sponsor, of course, is Anheuser-Busch. And are you old enough to drink yet?
You better believe
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, good.
Do we get free shirts or something?
Yes.
Or?
No, we're going to be riding on Grayson's coattails.
Okay.
Right, that's the idea here. Grayson graduated from Arizona State.
I
Sun
did.
Devil.
Just graduated.
And you're getting ready to move to Nashville.
Moving to Nashville.
Woo!
And chasing a dream.
You've got it, and you're going to chase that dream. Yeah,
chasing
why not?
I don't know what happened. I graduated, and the real world came way too soon.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm just going to become a musician now, you know? Why try to do finance, which is what my degree is in, especially right now? So.
Well, you know what? Finance, hopefully, if you're successful enough, that'll come in handy, right? That'd be great.
We'll move to Nashville first, and if that doesn't work out.
Now, you made a little trip there after you graduated, and tell everybody about that.
Been
so you were just going to try to feel things out, and you got a good reaction, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, love Nashville. Mm-hmm. Just an awesome city. And so went there a few times, made the first trip in December, and then back in June for the CMA Festival, was just amazing, and got to see all the big old country stars. Got to see a good old boy from Phoenix, Arizona, Dirk Bentley.
Oh, that's
there.
Good.
And
and who taught him how to play guitar?
I don't know.
Oh, Mr. John Kaser did.
Wait, what was it? Self?
No. You did a good job with him. Yeah, Dirk's, he's doing all right. That's good.
Yeah, so it was an awesome trip that kind of sealed the deal. So
cool.
Just making the arrangements here and heading out pretty soon. So
what do you think happened? So you're gonna move there in a month or two, and you've already talked to, I know you talked to who, ASCAP and BMI and some of those guys.
Went into ASCAP, and that was a cool experience, and got to talk to a friend of yours, Daryl Brown.
The great Daryl Brown.
Oh, man.
Was that fun?
What an amazing person he is.
Isn't
just
he?
A really cool guy. And
yep.
I
went to high school here, graduated from high school here.
Yeah, from Phoenix.
He's one of the great country songwriters right now.
You better believe it.
He's had a lot of number one songs.
Yeah. It was funny because I'm sitting there in his living room, and there was a point where I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, this is like this guy, you know, written, two number one hits for Keith Urban and countless
Rimes.
Others and Leon Rimes. And so it was awesome. Very
good,
cool.
Good. Didn't he play you some songs, too?
Yeah, he did. That was that's when I kind of turned into the fan. He pulled up his iTunes and was like, oh, hey, you know, check this out. This is what I'm working on for Leanne. And, you know, I'm trying to hide the huge smile on my face and try to keep it together. But
you know, it just shows you what a great guy Daryl is.
He is.
You know, when I called him, it was like, could you just, you know, meet with Grayson and just, you know, he's going to be on his own and, you know, maybe he could bounce a few things off you.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately jumped all over that, right?
I tell you what, I got some insight from him that is just priceless. So really
awesome.
Enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Yep.
Okay.
Trip to Nashville, $500. An hour with Daryl Brown.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, he's really a good guy. One of the best. Okay, you're going to sing. I don't know what you're singing, except you told me you're going to sing something that I wrote. So
I think we're going to do a Grant Wood's original here.
There
one
you
of
go.
My one of my favorite Grant Wood songs.
Oh, there you go.
And,
okay.
We're going to mix
I
it up.
I gave him the
bit.
Demo.
Huh?
Okay. I gave him the demo. So.
Okay, cool.
We're going to mix it up a little bit, so hopefully
okay, let's hear it.
This one's called One Life.
One.
Battered old gravestone in a bumpy old graveyard on the side of the road. African bushland, or it could have been Cleveland. It don't matter to the stiffs below. And I just got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. I just got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. Crazy old lady, she don't know but maybe all the way back home. I don't wanna shut down, close up and spin around. I don't wanna wind up alone. Got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. I just got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. And I'm gonna run, well, I have to walk. And I'm gonna fly and ignore the talk. And I just got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. I just got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. I just got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. Got one life, I gotta live it. I just got one heart, I gotta give it. All right. One Life by
Good
Grant
job.
Woods.
Cool.
I love that one.
Awesome. Thank you.
We mixed it up a little bit.
Yeah, that was awesome. Neat.
Now, for someone who's been to Cleveland, can he expect Africa to be the same or what?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter if you're dead. That was the point. I guess, right? Doesn't really matter at that point. Cool. That is awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
That is really cool. Okay, now you're going to sing one more for us?
That'll appear on Grayson's first CD.
I would love that. I would love that. You got full permission. That would be awesome. So the plan is you're going to go, and are you going to just start I know you're meeting a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you're going to start playing around town?
Yeah, that's the short-term plan, and hopefully
try to get a recording contract and go,
yeah.
Right?
No rush, but just kind of take it all in and hopefully meet some good people and kind of continue meeting the great people that I've already met.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just kind of play it by ear and kind of ride the wave for now, so...
So what our plan was for all our listeners here each week is that, you know, just periodically, every few months, we'll check in with you and maybe get you on the phone or if you come back this way or
Definitely.
The holidays or something, have you come back in and tell us, you know, now we're seeing you.
Absolutely.
As you're going out here and you're all, you know, fired up and ready to go, and we'll see what happens.
We'll make it happen.
If it works, that would be fantastic. And we'll all kind of go along for the ride.
I love it.
That would be great.
Let's do it.
Cool. That's awesome. Okay. Well, you want to play us out of the show here with what? What's this one?
The Simple Things.
Beautiful.
I can't understand it, the smell of the rain. The sight of you walking inside my life again. And over I see it. There's one thing in this life I agree with. There's one thing that remains forever true. Simple things will do. The sound of the laughter or time standing still. You didn't have to, but knowing that you will. And over I see it. There's one thing in this life I agree with. There's one thing that remains forever true. Simple things will do. And waking up with the one true love. And waking up with the softest touch, with the softest touch. And not even speaking, but saying so many words, anticipating all that was discerned. And over I see it. There's one thing in this life I agree with. There's one thing that remains forever true. The simple things will do. The simple things will do.
That's a John Kaiser original. Well, thanks. Well, thanks so much for having us, and I look forward to being back. All right.
That's a wrap.